And as we are progressing and making our way to proclaiming Jesus is Lord and proclaiming our faith in Jesus by the use of the Lord's Supper table today, there is a theme that runs through the Scripture that I want us to be mindful of. If you were with us last week, we began to look at a passage in John chapter 10 in which Jesus is described as the shepherd of the people of God. But this was not a brand new statement in the ears of those who were listening to Jesus at that moment, at least not the issue of God being the shepherd of his people. And so this morning, what I'd like for us to do is to trace for a little bit this idea that God is a shepherd. And so if you'll look at your message notes, and you'll see that tonight or this morning's message is entitled, Almighty God is a shepherd to his people. Almighty God is a shepherd to his people. And it is my hope that you will be encouraged by that. Those of you who are believers, to think of the relationship that God intends with you. For those of you who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to understand what kind of relationship is offered to you through the person of Jesus. So that as we come to the table, it is a heart of awe and tenderness and thanksgiving and announcement that Jesus is Lord and our shepherd. This morning, as you look at those notes, we're going to be looking at several verses as we travel through this time together in God's Word. And the first thing I want us to see is this. Almighty God is revealed as a shepherd of his people early and often in Scripture. When Jesus was speaking to those in John 10, which we will look at in just a moment, and this picture of the shepherd was being announced, immediately, those who were listening to Jesus, coming from the Jewish faith, would have had flashes of the Old Testament Scriptures pouring into their mind, because the theme of the idea of a shepherd is all through the Old Testament and of God being a shepherd. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48, and we will see where this picture begins. Genesis, if you know much about the book, especially as it nears the end, it means that Joseph has been taken to Egypt, and Joseph has helped to save Egypt after many years of famine and blessing, and there is a reuniting of Joseph with his family, and there he sees his father again, Jacob, as an old man. And in Genesis 48, Father blesses Joseph with verse 15. He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day." Do you hear the words of Jacob, the older man? Now, God has been his shepherd. Was Jacob's life always easy? Remember, his son Joseph was reportedly dead from his beloved wife, Joseph, the firstborn of his favored wife, dead. His life was not always easy. Jacob, who wrestled with Esau and troubled with his brother and yet reunited there, through good and through ill, Jacob knew that God was his shepherd, leading him, guiding him, protecting him. Those of you who, when you think of the word God, and all you can think of is judge, he is judge. But understand that same God is also shepherd. When you think of God and you think lawgiver, think shepherd who gives laws to protect. You think God, the one who takes life, but He is also God who gives life into His fold, the shepherd. He is God, and you may think wrongly, He is unconcerned. He is God, the shepherd, who watches over His flock and knows them and cares for them. But He's God, He's all-powerful, and yet in that power there is providence. He's God, and He's mighty. And He's mighty in His compassions as the shepherd of His people. Yes, have strong images of God, but have them just as tender. For God has saved you in His power and yet in His love. God is meant to be reverently feared, and He is to be trusted, and He is to be kept near to as the shepherd who loves His flock. There is a name of God that some of you know, particularly those of you who are children who have been with us for a while and have learned this in your Bible study on Sunday mornings. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. So does God want us to identify with this tender side of Him, even as we are in awe of Him and revere Him and shake before His holiness. And He also includes in His holy word the name. Do not forget, I am Yahweh Rohi, your shepherd, who sees you through not only pleasant days, but also guides you in your days of turmoil. In the Psalms, go and do a concordance study of shepherding. You see all through the Psalms, not just the one that we read earlier today in Psalm 23, all through the Psalms, there's that relationship of God as shepherd. Psalm 80, just one, oh, give ear, shepherd of Israel. It's probably no coincidence that David refers to God as his shepherd so often. For what was David himself? But the shepherd king. The boy who was a shepherd and interacted with God just as David knew his responsibilities towards his flock. He saw God operating in his own life as the shepherd who leads and directs and guides. Almighty God is revealed as a shepherd. Be encouraged by that. Now, from the time that I put together the message notes that you have and the time that Sunday morning comes, sometimes there's some changes of thought. And so I want to try to deal with points 2 and 3 together. And so let me give those to you. We'll probably spend most of our time on point 4 today. But the second point, if you're one who will not sleep well tonight, if there's not a word in a blank, let me give those to you. Almighty God undertakes the responsibilities of a shepherd for His sheep. Okay, Pastor Ken, you're talking about God as a shepherd, but what does that mean? I want to share that with you. And then third, Almighty God renders judgment over the earthly shepherds of His sheep. Almighty God undertakes the responsibilities of a shepherd for His sheep, and Almighty God renders judgment over the earthly shepherds of His sheep. And at this point, I want us to look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel will be in your Old Testament. If you need to take a moment and look at your index, do so, but please follow along as we look at this very stirring passage, Ezekiel 34. God, though He sits in the heavens and He shepherds, does condescend to give us earthly shepherds. Leaders, men who will shepherd the flock of God. And some of those leaders are good leaders and good shepherds. But none of them are perfect. And some of the shepherds are not good at all. It's interesting as you look back over the scriptures that God uses men who were shepherds themselves to shepherd the flock of God. Why would that be? So that they would have a similar heart as His in dealing with the people. Think of Moses. Remember, Moses, in Pharaoh's house, and then he strikes the Egyptian dead, and he runs. And what does he become? The CEO of one of the Fortune 500 companies in Egypt, right? No. He's hidden in obscurity for 40 years in the mountains, tending flocks. And those 40 years are the preparation for his 40 years of being the shepherd of Israel when they leave Egypt. But even Moses was not perfect. Remember, because of his sin, he could not enter the promised land. And David, the shepherd king, through whom the Messiah would come and is often a future-looking mirror of the coming Messiah. Even David, the great shepherd, who would look upon the stars as the sheep were perhaps sleeping at night and think, oh, what is man, O God, that you are mindful of him, and who had a heart after God and desired to shepherd the kingdom of Israel. Even he was not perfect. And then there were others. Listen to the words of God, the Lord, towards the shepherds of Israel. There were prophets and priests along the way and teachers, and again, some good and some, as we see, not. And notice the heart of God for his flock. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search for them or to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God. Surely, because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. So God, what will you do? You will reject these earthly shepherds. And will you leave your people without a shepherd? Look at the heart of God. For the Lord says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Now begin to think of the words of Jesus. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on the cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land, and I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pastures on the mountains. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures, or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must bow the rest with your feet? As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet. He's speaking to the bad shepherds here. And drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean, because you push with side and with shoulder, describing the uncaring attitude of the bad shepherds towards the sheep. Because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. And then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, wait a minute. David's long dead. Who is this David who will be the one shepherd? My servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Who could be the one who would be the shepherd, who would feed the sheep of God perfectly? Before I answer, notice the heart of God, that His flock be taken care of, and that He will ensure that His flock will be secure. His flock will indeed persevere. His flock will indeed be taken care of, even if they have to endure for a little while false shepherds. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your elders. That we would in no way enter into the judgment of Ezekiel 34. That all that the false shepherds would not do, we would find ourselves loving to do. Almighty God is revealed as a shepherd of His people early and often. Almighty God undertakes the responsibilities. He is going to ensure, He is going to provide for them. Almighty God renders judgment. That should be sobering to all who lead the flock. Fourth, Almighty God rescues His sheep through Jesus, the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Almighty God rescues His sheep through Jesus. He is the one shepherd. He is the one who is David, the shepherd for His flock. Almighty God rescues His sheep through Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Ken? Well, let's go then to John 10 again. And think now, as would have the Jews in the days of Jesus, of this shepherd motif. God is the shepherd of His people. And God has promised one shepherd in the mold of David to lead and to be their prince. And let us look at verse 11 of John 10. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Though you may wonder at His leadings, though you may wonder at His designs, never wonder about His nature and purpose towards you. He is the good shepherd who seeks the best for his flock. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is what we are declaring when we come to the Lord's Supper table, that there has been one who has laid down his life for us. And when we take the bread, and when we take the fruit of the vine, when we take the juice of the grape, we are declaring that this is signifying the body and the blood of Jesus, which was laid down for me. And I believe that I am rescued through Him alone. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then just go on. We're going to look at what Jesus says in some specifics next week, but just listen to what Jesus says about himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. And my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Here he's speaking of Gentiles. The fold that he's speaking of in verse 16 is the fold of Israel. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon-possessed man cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" And Jesus continues with the shepherd theme, but several days, perhaps weeks later, at that time the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe." Jesus has told you this morning that He is the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. Do you believe? All those who come to the table come because they believe that Jesus is the good shepherd. "The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish." Jesus gives eternal life and eternal security, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is the good shepherd who rescues and secures and saves and delivers. And He does this in the motif of the shepherd. And yet, God is the one who was promised to be the shepherd. Why, Jesus, who do you think you are? Keep reading. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Now why? Why would these could people pick up stones against this man who's offering eternal life and offering to them the security of their souls forever and ever? Why would they pick up stones? Because they understood at that moment when Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," that He was not just talking sort of in vague terms about Him being a shepherd like God is the shepherd. Rather, they began to understand Jesus was saying, "I am your God, the shepherd." And they picked up stones because He was blaspheming in their name, in their minds, the name and the person of God. What will you do with Jesus, the good shepherd, this morning? Those who come to the Lord's table come as recipients of the work of the good shepherd, having laid down His life, and see in Jesus far more than a moral example, and see in Jesus more than perhaps a wise teacher. But those who come to the table come seeing that Jesus is God. Not to be stoned, but to be submitted to. Not to be rejected, but to be rejoiced over as the shepherd of their souls. Think again with me the words that we read to begin with. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." In John 10:14, "Jesus is the good shepherd." In 1 Peter 5:4, He is described as the chief shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, He is the great shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. I shall not want." Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." All your needs satisfied and taken care of in Christ Jesus. I shall not want, because Jesus, the Lord my shepherd, is the one in whom all my needs are satisfied. "He makes me lie down." Jesus is our rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Go home and read that today and see how Jesus is our eternal rest before God. He who has gone through the ordeal of the cross and has entered His rest before the right hand of the Father forevermore, we who follow in Him in faith are also at rest, at peace with God. "He makes me lie down." Jesus is the rest for His flock. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Why green pastures? Because green pastures are the source of nourishment. How does Jesus nourish us? Because Jesus is the bread. John 6:51. "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Not anyone who eats of this bread. You can eat this bread all day long and still die and go to hell. But when you eat of this bread, are you partaking of Jesus as the bread of life, your only hope for eternal sustenance and existence and life? "I am the living bread," says John. That is dead bread pointing to the living bread. "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." "He leads me beside still waters." And Jesus is the living water. John 4:14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." even the Holy Spirit. Revelation 7, 16 and 17. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. I shall not want, for in Jesus all my needs are taken care of. He makes me to lie down. Jesus is my rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus is the nourishment of my soul, as He is the bread of life. He leads me beside still waters and guides me to the springs of water of life, even in the halls of heaven. He leads me in paths of righteousness. In Matthew 7, Jesus is the narrow gate and the narrow way that leads to salvation. In John 14, 6, I am the way, the path, and the way, the truth, the life. And in Acts 16, we are referred to as the people of the way of salvation. Jesus is the path of righteousness. Not that we have to carve out our own path of righteousness by our own hands, taking, as it were, the machete of life and fending ourselves on through the jungle of this world to earn our way into God's presence, but rather we simply walk in Jesus, who is the path of righteousness, as we walk to the cross and through the other side into the reception room of God. He leads me in paths of righteousness, His righteousness, not my own. And though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In Jesus, there is no fear of death. John 11, next chapter that we will get to shortly, John 11, 25 and 26, is Jesus is speaking to Martha when Lazarus is still cold in the grave. He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Haunting question, do you believe this? Not does your mother, Martha, believe this. Not did your father, Martha, believe this. Not did your sister or did your brother, Martha. Martha, do you believe this? He who believes in me will never die. The words of John in his first letter, 1 John 5:11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. In Jesus, there is no fear in the valley of the shadow of death. For we go from life to life, so says our shepherd. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Did you know that there is a table in heaven awaiting the grand reception and the marriage feast of the Lamb? Indeed, Jesus says in Matthew 7, 22, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who gave a feast, not for the guests, though they were numerous, but a feast for his son. In Revelation 19, we are told of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and to which Jesus alludes in Matthew 26 when he says, I will not eat of this, drink of this with you again, until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, there is a table prepared for us who follow Jesus, our Savior, in the home of heaven. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from the book of Revelation, passages from 21 and 22. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is among men. And He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself will be among them." And He, listen to that over and over, God among them, God among them, God among them. Well, if God is among us, shall we not also be with God? "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming down from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side the river there is the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants, the sheep of His pasture, will serve Him, and they will see His face. Can anyone see the face of God except for the mercy of God? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, as I am before the throne of God, serving Him according to His goodness, seeing His face according to His mercy. And His name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them. Who's the them? The flock, the sheep, will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And He said to me, "These words are faithful and true." When we come to the table today, have your hearts set on the shepherd who leads you. Have your heart set on the shepherd who has laid down His life for you. Have your heart set on the shepherd who is perfect in every way, who secures you and rescues you and takes care of you and provides you and never abandons you and never mistreats you. Come to the table with a heart full of the one good, true, right, perfect, holy, eternal shepherd God, Jesus, our Christ. "I am the good shepherd. Will you follow? Do you believe?" Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, that we should examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Those questions that we ask: will I follow Christ? Do I believe? Must be answered. He also says in that letter that we should come and not take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. He does not mean by that, are you wearing a tie or not? He does not mean by what method do the elements get passed out. He means, is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with each other? that you do not profane the name of Jesus by saying you believe and that you're following Him, and yet God knows that you are living in sin, that you are living in bitterness. And so it is good for us to take some time to be quiet, to ask the Lord to search out our hearts to see if there be any wicked way within us, to answer the question, am I following? Do I believe? And perhaps even to confess sins to the Lord that we have been protecting, we think, from His sight, but that He sees and reveals and convicts us of. Or maybe even to make right with one another before we come. So let us have a time of silent preparation. And then I will close us with prayer. And we will proceed to declare Jesus as Lord and our Good Shepherd through the Lord's Supper. Let's pray.